Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Get ready for some super odd Ridley Scottiverse style android shenanigans this week as we set to mothering some children's on this week's Cosmic Raised by Crit Wolves. This is your reprogrammed Murderbot Patrick here, journeying to a far off new planet with some religious kooks. And joining me in raising all these kids and trying not to get them all killed are my five fellow wolves, your players. To my far left, a kid who falls in a well and Lassie's nowhere to be seen. It's Jabert, jabbering away his jam from.
Good night, everyone.
Across the digital table from me, a Mithrak mystic murdering many men, its smiles making believe as redacted.
Good evening.
To my right, a reprogrammed android with fatherly duties to protect and provide. Why, it's Tyler talking as prey deer.
Hello there. Duties.
To my immediate left, an atheist stealing his way on an awesome ship. Aboard an awesome ship, we've got Drew dying to play Zilix Thelm.
Hey, if your show gets canceled, you could be on at least 3 more HBO shows.
And across from him, Mama Robot Wolf ready to go feral to protect her human babies. It's none other than Rebecca rolling with Asher and Sky.
Hello.
Raised by Wolves. Pretty metal title for a show.
First season of that show was awesome.
Bonkers.
And I heard the second season was not as good and ended on a cliffhanger that will never get resolved because it got canceled. So I've not watched the second season.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those shows that like came out in the pandemic, right? It was like in 2020. And
I was trying to think when it came out. And yeah, it was pandemic.
I remember there just wasn't a lot of stuff coming out in general because studios were like, maybe we should hold on to this in case we can't make another show for a while. But yeah, I was super surprised I got a second season because I enjoyed what I watched of it. But over a year and a half for that second season to come out.
There was a prequel comic book that I even picked up.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Look at you getting all into it.
I was into it.
Well, when shows like this get canceled early, they really need to make a sequel comic book, an end of the show comic book. there's too many shows that get canceled before they really have a resolution. And I think, you know, as much as it's kind of painful sometimes, like you have to have the Netflix kind of mentality of make a season and have that be like a little complete story, you know, like a good old beginning, middle and end, maybe some teasers for like stuff in the future. Like, you know, at the end of Stranger Things season one, Will hawks up a loogie, a black goo. And you're like, that's not good.
Spoilers. Whoa.
If we've already passed the introduction in this season, then spoilers no more. When was season one? Like 20?
I'm so sorry.
Season one was like 2004, 2005. It was
<It's> not.
I mean, if you looked at how much those kids have grown, it feels like it. But
a couple of them are married now. It's really strange.
Yeah. Well, my fun fact I always like to throw out there is when the Karate Kid movie came out, Ralph Macchio was already married and like was expecting child.
Yeah, he looks 15, but he was like 25,
22, 23, I think, when the movie was filmed. Yeah, he was old. And it's so funny, there's like footage of him as an actual teenager and people are like, how old are you? And he's like 16 and he looks like 10, you know. he's always been a few years behind. Right, let's get back into the Starfinder action, but we're not doing the last time on this week. We're going to talk about you guys leveled up to level 11, you know. Hey. So congratulations on making it through book 5. A little bit of a different book 5 than I feel like we've had in or penultimate adventure, I should say, we've had in the past. Typically, book 5 is when things get like wacky, takes you to weird places, but this one's very much more exploring around the planet, you know, your planet, and having a lot of small little vignette adventures over the course of, you know, ostensibly many months. So yeah, congratulations on making it through. I'm sorry it didn't feel like a boss fight last week. I thought it was a pretty hard fight, but I crit Rebecca at one point for like 90 points of damage. I was like, oh, this is as hard as it gets. But yeah, you guys have survived, made it to level 11. Does anybody have anything burning that they want to talk about? Their character gets at this level?
Oh, not much. Just something a little something called Soldier's Onslaught. Oh, three attacks. Oh yeah.
Oh no, I forgot all about that. So nothing for Soldier. Got it.
Yep.
Drew, were you saying something there?
Oh, I just said when you talked about something burning that you got, I said I rolled to save for the
one. Oh, yeah. Oh. Sorry, I stepped on that.
No, it's fine. It wasn't that funny.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't need to apologize.
Yeah, sorry, Patrick circled back around to that, Drew. That was unfair to you.
I thought I was going to get away with it.
I thought he was answering my question of when did you get a level 11? Real egg on my face for assuming that. But now, Drew, you have to. What did Zilix get at?
So level 11 for nanocytes isn't, well, it's like subtly big. There's not like a huge big new ability or whatnot, but I get something called Eternal Nanites. So basically, I just get my nanite surges back a little faster. So anytime I spend a resolve point to regain stamina points, I get a use of my nanite surge ability back. And if I spend a resolve point to get a nanite surge, which I can do in combat, I get two instead of one. So it's just
fun.
Kind of always an excuse to use one now.
I mean, how many RP do you have at this point?
I have 13.
Yeah. I think you can blast through a couple.
I have 11 nanocyte surges at this level, so I'm gonna be just fine.
Oh, good. Right, Miles, Rebecca, Tyler, who wants to go next?
I'll go.
But what do we got for mechanics?
So, because I chose to do this crazy alternative version, not a whole lot for all redacted at level 11, but I did choose a fun little feat. It's called driving force. You drive your vehicles hard, making them deadlier to foes. When piloting a terrestrial vehicle, the vehicle deals extra collision damage equal to your ranks in piloting when you use the runover action, and extra collision damage equal to twice your ranks in piloting when you use the ram action.
So you're probably never going to do that again, huh?
Probably not.
You're going to run anybody over again? That's pretty good. I mean, at this point, I'm guessing you have 11 ranks in piloting.
Yeah, which, yeah, I guess, what, 8 plus 18, I think is what I've got.
It's a lot of damage. No, it says ranks, not bonus.
That's fine.
That's what you just read. But whatever, still a lot of damage.
No one at home cares either.
I care. That's why I'm saying it.
Shh. No, like that was the thing, is I wanted to get something that was a little more on theme for Redacted, since like all of the mechanical stuff for this level was just kind of nothing. So the ability to at least, you know, add potentially an extra 11 to 22 points is enticing.
And we're saving the best for last here. It's either Tyler or Rebecca who's gonna anchor a level 11.
I can go. As an operative, I got my specialization power. And since I am a disciple operative, I get spell resistance. So yay.
Oh, that's fun.
Not all the time, just for a limited amount of time if I observe someone or whatever, but still.
Okay. So you see someone cast a magic, you'd be like, not today.
Yep.
Not today. Tyler, T-Tie.
Yo, what's up?
What does Mystic get? What do you get?
What level are we?
11.
Okay.
10th level was a big one, huh? When you got the fourth level spells.
I still get I learn a new fourth level spell. So it's still very nice. I can, this has come into play a few times. I can do telepathic bond now. So as a standard action, I can form a telepathic link with up to 6 willing creatures, allowing telepathic communication at great distances. It is, the duration is permanent.
Oh, so the four of these folks, and are you picking any two others? Are you gonna talk to Ezra and Shire?
Ezra and Shire?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
who else is on your AT&T calling plan?
Oh, God.
Patrick, I wish you hadn't reminded me of that.
You can have up to six friends and family.
Brigadier General Assad.
Oh, really?
Just six times.
Okay.
No, I mean, probably, I don't know. I don't know. For now, let's make it the cute plaid woman.
Oh, my God.
No, you have to say her name.
Yeah, when you're putting in the psychic paperwork.
You forgot her name?
We all know her name. Even Miles remembers her name, but you don't remember her name.
No one tell him. No one tell him.
I know her name.
No one tell him. What is it? Here, hold on. I'll give you the picture, Tyler.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That will absolutely hit.
It's going to jog your memory.
Yeah,
I guarantee it.
Where is it?
Boom, right here.
Oh, I just want to say Willow, but that ain't it, right?
Nope.
No.
No. It's
Tyler,
it's...
if you don't get this, we don't get a reroll of this episode. Come on, man.
No!
Put it together. Your space girlfriend needs a name, and you know she has one.
What don't I know? Does it start with W at all?
Should we play like Hangman? Nope. So first off, got the head. Gets another letter.
Okay.
Does it start with T?
It does.
Okay. Is
oh my
it,
god! Oh my god, Tyler, are you serious?
So mad at you.
Is the second one A?
No, that is a body on the Hangman.
Okay. T. Okay, give me a H maybe.
There is an H. Yes.
Okay.
That should it. So it starts TH. That should give you a lot, right? You definitely can get it from that. And there's another T. There's two T's.
Yeah. There's two T's.
Yeah. This will help.
T's.
There's two T's.
This will help a lot.
Are you gonna draw the?
I don't think you can draw it any more clearly than he just did.
Okay, so two T's.
This'll
and
help.
An H.
Oh, God.
This'll help.
You know, I need introverts circling.
This'll help.
Oh, my gosh. Tyler.
Say what he's saying. So
pick another letter. Don't help them, I say.
Thistle?
Yes.
Hey, you got it.
Oh, God. Oh gosh!
I knew you knew your girlfriend's name.
She cannot be your girlfriend anymore. You don't.
Yeah. I didn't do it in front of her. This is this happened with a close group of friends.
You don't deserve her, okay?
Oh, you.
Jamfram's telling Thistle.
What was your boyfriend's name from Dead Men Roll No Crits?
Oh, Pierce Jarrell.
Oh my God! Slammed you. It's been over half a year since we named that guy.
Biscuits. Also, who the fuck is that? Drew.
Oh my God, Drew! He's so handsome. It's ridiculous.
So handsome, dude.
Boy, howdy.
Call him my Backstreet Boy.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so I'll include Thistle for now. And hope that we don't break up over this. And then I get a new fourth level spell.
Oh, that's all you get, Tyler.
That's all you get. That's all the time
we
I have.
We spent 20 minutes on that, on yours. We were not talking about any other things you got at level 11. You got telepathic bond. It took 20 minutes to name six people in the campaign. Oh, goodness gracious. To be fair to Tyler, when he said that, I was like, what's her name? Whistle? No, that's not right. That's close, but that's not right. I think we made that joke a couple times. Right, so if you guys are ready, let's get into it. Let's start book six of Horizons of the Vast. This is by Landon Winkler. What a name, Landon Winkler. And book six is called The Culling Shadow.
I don't get it.
The Culling Shadow. It's a little bit of a spoiler.
Are they introducing new things like right now in the title of the book?
You've never heard that.
Not for it.
Book six starts in the main hall of the Viridian Government Center. We see a massive host of Universal News Agencies waiting for someone to step up to the podium. And a door opens behind this room, and we watch as Ezrin Shire appears from the back offices, the meeting rooms, with Kells Feldspar beside him, Achi and Tukor Hardhoof in their Secret Service suits, their black suits with their shades on, flanking Ezrin. He steps up to the microphone and editor and says, well, thank you all for coming to this conference. Primex Pradier and the rest of the Viridian Council apologize for not being here, but after the last few months and all these negotiations and assassination attempts, war preparations, their schedule is pretty much completely full. So I've been given the clearance to share with all the colonies here on New Galerion the state of the threat that is facing us, for this planet has been visited by a space phenomena for many centuries that is known as Misaxenoi. It is also called the Culling Shadow. And while we don't know its exact nature, we've gathered that it gives off the necrotic radiation that is very deadly to sentient life. And the entity, unfortunately, we believe this year is returning to our planet, and we are trying to find ways right now to fight this threat and keep everyone safe. And unfortunately, in addition to that, we've also made contact with an alien force of cultists that worship this Culling Shadow. This group of Draelix seem to have a great deal of knowledge about Misaxenoi and the radiation, and perhaps worship its destructive capabilities. And we believe this organization has a great deal of resources and starships and perhaps even a fleet that might be planning to attack our planet. But, well, we've made deals for technology and resources from the Pact. We have military protection from the Vescarium coming through, and we're hoping to be able to provide enough shuttles for any and all who want to get off planet to use them in a lottery-based order drawing system. And we're going to be announcing more details on that soon. But yeah, I just wanted to thank all the citizens that have already pledged to stay, to fight, to research the enemy, and build infrastructure to combat this threat. And yeah, let me tell you about all the good works that the leaders of Viridians have been up to the last few months. Primex Pradier traveled to Celestine Colony to finalize a deal to develop technology to combat the deadly radiation of the Culling Shadow. And it was tech that was found right here in Viridian. A prototype of a weapon called the Necropositrine Ray was discovered in the old Marizal facility. And well, not to overcomplicate things, but Pradier was kind of its inventor. Anyway, we flash back now to the five of you landing the Peridot Peregrine, Cattywampus asleep as the ship's autopilot controls jostle him awake, and you guys land. He says, I'll keep the engine warmed up in case, you know, Aspis Corps tries to kill you guys again. Have a good meeting. Bye. I've been in the ship the whole time, by the way. I live here.
What? So long, Cattywampus, right? Cattywampus? Yeah, Cattywampus. High five.
You call me whatever you want, Jamfram.
Later.
You call me Cat. You call me Wampus. That's right. What you want to do?
All right, Kit Kat. We'll say Kit Kat. Out. And I kick open the door.
Not that, Jamfram. Anything but Kit Kat.
Later, Kit Kats. Kit Kat. A kitty cat.
A Kit Kat killed my grandfather. He didn't chew.
You're given an automated car ride through the industrial district of the capital of Celestine. And you see what looks like very large facilities on either side.
How many pedestrians does it strike?
It's the industrial district here. There's not a lot of folks on. I mean, there's not a lot of sidewalks. It's like a big old highway right through this area. But five. strike five. Maybe it takes off at some point and kill some birds. Yeah. Kills like a flock of geese. But you see on either side of the highway what looks like very large facilities. On the northern side looks like maybe a giant crane-like arms, and on the southern side what seems to be a facility creating large starship cannons. You're taken to the top floor of the government building here to meet once more with Head Administrator Radivi Bonray. And I actually should have had this last book, but the art for her, Radivi, is in this book. So let me show you. Administrator Bone Ray. Froop. Oh, good spot here.
She looks like a tough customer.
I don't want to denigrate my own people here, but she looks like a real bad, mean librarian, you know?
She don't take no guff. Those
glasses. Yeah, no, she's ready to raise a finger and shush you real quick. Real good. Real good. As you come into her office, she says, Viridians, the last few months have been very good to us. We have scaled up the prototype weapon and hopefully large enough to realistically make impactful kind of proportions that will help turn the tide of this war. She clicks a button on a remote control and a video plays on the far side of the wall over the liquid lunch bar. And you see what looked like videos of both Nikithi and Xantos Loachwort working on the Necropositrine prototype. And then maybe a week or so later, Nikithi at what looks like a very large construction site, the one you saw with the large crane-like structures, and Xantos at the one that has starship cannons. Dr. Loachwort has scaled up the weapon and produced what he believes could be working necropositrine cannons and weapons that can be attached to starships, attached to our fleet, perhaps used to help destroy members of the sect of the Culling Shadow. And Ethi has been spending his time working on defensive capabilities of the weapon and has come up with this. She clicks the remote control again, and the video shows the large cranes emitting what looks like a powerful energy blast that seems to combine and kind of grow and stretch, kind of like a bubblegum, you know, bubble. Just like it finds like an equilibrium and resonates, and you see what looks like a very large golden pink dome around the structures and a nearby building. It seems to reach out over a city block or so. He's calling it the Necropositrine Shield Protocol. He believes it can help perhaps neutralize the Culling Shadow's radiation and protect multiple city blocks from the effects of the enemy. The necro radiation, we believe, will be neutralized by this shield protocol. What do you say to that, Viridians?
Finally, Nikithi is useful after all these years.
He's a genius, Tyler. You made that genius character.
Is Idis there with him so that we can call that shadow?
Oh, you hurt my feelings.
Yikes. The good news is we do have resources allocated planet side to mass produce, well, one of these projects fully and get it installed within the next few months. But yes, the bad news is we don't have really enough resources for both, even with the support you gathered from the pact, you know. So I've called you here to really make this decision. Which would you like? We can either mass produce and equip the Armada with these cannons, technology that even the Vesk dreadnoughts do not have, or we could focus on defensive measures, get the shield protocol built and installed in just about every single colony on the planet. And if things were to go poorly, hopefully this would be able to keep people alive, keep people safe. So what would you like to focus on, offensive or defensive?
Is it an all or nothing? So if we build the shield, there's just no offense at all, or at least no.
Well, it's, you know,
offense.
You could get it like maybe one or two shields, but there's like at this point 10 different colonies. So because you guys are a partnership of all the colonies together, they would not go for that, you know. So they would put up a stink. And pretty much the same thing with weapons. If you only provided a couple to the Viscarium, then the pact ships or the Nuclearion ships that are willing to defend the colony will be pretty unhappy that they did not get that tech.
Mm.
So pretty much you might be able to get one prototype out of the other option that you choose, but not a lot.
So it's pretty much all or nothing. All on one and none of the other. I mean, what if we skip a little bit on the defensive side and we just don't protect that one colony that has that really mean lady as the leader?
Which one? I'm pretty sure you're talking about Celestine.
I'm pretty sure I'm talking about Celestine. Yeah.
Are you talking about Redevi Bondre? Because the person that was mean to you, I think, was just like an emissary.
Yeah, it was just the emissary. Yeah, I'm not. It wasn't this lady, this woman. I think would mainly be focused on the defensive, because if the whole point is to ensure colony survival, even if all the like offensive forces get wiped out, mm-hmm. if the colony stays intact, then we have like another 100 years. Are they gonna have another like 100 years of trying again? So that would be good. If the defense works out as intended, mm-hmm. there's always possibility that it doesn't.
Maybe it makes it worse. You never know. Maybe it like amplifies. If
Nikithi's the one who's made it, yeah, probably. Actually, that's a good point. We shouldn't invest in anything Nikithi makes. It doesn't go well.
What say the rest of you? Are you feeling defensive? Are you feeling offensive?
I think some people say the best defense is a good offense. Or is it the other way around?
It's the other way around. Best offensive is good defense.
I clank on my armor, and I go, no, the best defense is a good defense. We need armor plating aplenty.
Jiffram's like, I've gone down in combat like maybe one time in the years you've known me. Upgrade your armor, you fools.
And that was just radiation.
Yeah, that was unfair.
Because I didn't have the shield. You're like, give me that shield.
Speaking of which, I really need to upgrade my armor. I keep forgetting this game is not like second edition where like your stats just stay crappy if you don't buy new stuff. I'm slowly becoming easier and easier to hit every level.
Second edition is great. You can buy armor at level one and just be like, this is what I'm using. that's probably good.
I'm chill.
Yeah. Rebecca, what about Asher and Sky?
I don't know.
It's two options. I mean, you don't have to like go hog ham on one or the other, but do you feel you're leaning one way? You heard me, Drew.
No, I'll just follow the group. I have no opinion.
Okay, well, there's an odd number of you guys, so we need someone to tiebreak, or it'll be potentially. Well, let me ask Miles. What about Redacted?
I think Redacted is probably interested in going on the offense.
Okay. Yep. Sorry, Rebecca. It's 2v2, so it sounds like you're going to have to make a...
Roll them dice!
A podcast-altering decision. It's come down to you.
Well, it's not Nasher and Sky's... Well, I guess they are a battle flower. Let's see. Would they go with their offensive training or their defensive nature? I think they're in conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
Could try an interpretive dance, see how that goes.
It could. I think thus far, I think I'll go with defensive.
Okay. Necropositrine shield protocol. And there is art for what these things look like or what they will look like potentially on a
larger scale. Oh, I could have influenced the decision.
Well, that's why I didn't show it to you.
What's the gun? These look good. These look like something out of Mass Effect.
Yeah, and I think I did a good justice in describing it. It's kind of, well, it kind of looks like a boob, but it is if you squint at it, it kind of looks like a medical textbook. Like, this is what, these are inside of breasts. Everyone has these necropositrine shield generators. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, boy. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that helps so much.
Yes.
Actually, right, now it looks more like the profile view of like an eyeball. So actually, that does help.
Put it on its side. Maybe a grapefruit cut in half, actually.
Yeah, ooh.
I wouldn't know what a grapefruit cut in half looks like because I'm not 90.
Mm-hmm.
my grandparents were... always have like half a grapefruit like every morning. I was like, hey, you guys really like that? And I had a taste with their weird special spoon that they used with it. I was like, this is garbage fruit. You know that there are good fruits, right? And they never told me that they sprinkle sugar over it. They lied. I didn't get a sugar bite.
Cosmic Crit really answering the life's real questions.
Anyway, they're dead now, so joke's on them. All the good that grapefruit did you, Grandma and Grandpa. Right, the other thing that we have to talk about, Viridians, she continues on, is we did have to double the ask in resources from Viridian. Our resource points are not enough to cover the full rollout of these devices, so we will need about double the resource points that we originally quoted you, unfortunately.
Sense motive. They be lying. They're being greedy. They have the resource points. They just don't want to share. Smell this from a mile away.
Okay. Make that check.
34.
Based on what you've seen, like if you're allocating the packed resource points, they would probably have more than enough. So it might be that they're not wanting to put in their own resources into creating these and perhaps using the planetary resources to build up their industrial district to be able to handle this. So they're getting a little handshake out of this if they doubled up. So do you want to how do you want to handle this? They're trying to go back on your initial deal.
Jaakus.
You want to argue them down? You want to intimidate? You want a diplomacy? What are you thinking?
Remember
Tyler.
You know, don't even say it. Don't you dare. Let's intimidate them down. Let's move some other intimidators.
Does anybody want to aid? Assist?
I mean, I can aid.
Mm-hmm.
If you let me touch you with my unity.
But it's tendril time.
Can you imagine being in a meeting and just being like, hold on, my buddy needs to tendril me before I say this next line. Jaakus!
Well, looks like Jabert has heated you. What are you saying to her with your, what is this? Like, it'll be like a 32.
Yeah.
35?
35. I will say, I'm sure Celestine would thrive being able to withhold the resources that you initially promised. And I too wish that I could skimp as far down as you wish to. But if you do not, you need, just as we need, to put forth the resources that we've agreed upon. Otherwise, once this is all over, the friendly relations that we've established will be a bit strained. Firm.
Well, you...
And then I shoot her in the kneecap.
Oh, God, it's so intimidating.
No, that this, because of the aid here, Jamfram, is a basically a critical success. You beat the DC by 5 or more. Not only does she relent, she's like, I understand. Yes, yes, yes. And I suppose you're right. We here at Celestine need to chip in our fair share. And I will say, I don't want to see the planet destroyed. I did just buy a very large condominium. So, okay.
I'm going to bluff and say that Viridian can't put out as much as we originally promised as well.
We're going to need you to chip in some mo.
But she agrees. She's like, I will take this to the Celestine Council and get them to agree. And as an apology, I would like, since we won't be using it in the lead up to ramp up production, the prototype for the Necropositrine cannon, we would like to have sent to you to perhaps apply to your ship, the Peridot Peregrine. We can give you instructions to your, it looks like you have a co-pilot listed here, a Kit Kat. Mr. Kit Kat, is it? We'll let him know how to use it.
You know what? We need to update information. Mr. Kit Kat died in the war.
So sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we're pretty beat up about it.
Can we send flowers to Mrs. Kit Kat?
Yes. Yes, you can.
You may break her off a piece.
Oh, no. That doesn't sound good. Right. In the weeks after that meeting, there's more meetings between the Vescarium military forces, more packed dignitaries that come in to the planet, and we watch as more and more starships, someone, you know, with the capability to record in space, does like a time lapse of drift portal openings above the planet. And you see over the course of like a week, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of these little pinpricks of purple and green light popping into the space above the planet. As, more and more folks make their way planet side, a small fleet of Vescarium ships comes, and many of them coming down to planet side, and ships from the Pact with both supplies and a lot of people leaving. There's folks that make plans to take the first ship off of New Galarion. Oh. And
I have already given instructions for the satellites to shoot those down.
I don't think that's how that works. I don't think that's how any of these satellites work.
Just got to set an example that if you're not with us, you're dead.
But yeah, in Viridian, we see the very first of the shield protocol devices, the Necropositrine shields, being erected. Its construction kind of taking place in the near to the center, perhaps the center of the city nearby the spaceport as possible. And yeah, then over the next week or so, we see Vescarium military bases being erected over the planet, the closest one to you all in what was once the Five King Mountains, approximately where Highhelm was supposed to have been located in Galarion of old. So it's like a small spaceport and a military base. They erect walls and things. And indeed, we watch starport upgrades being made to the Peridot Peregrine, with armor and weapons being just bolted on to your starship. And it seems like over the course of these weeks, the entire planet is kind of holding its breath after kind of word got out about the attacks, the assassination attempt, things like that. And people realize that things are going bad once all these Vescarium ships start showing up. There's rumors of war, and indeed many a frightening things said about the Culling Shadow. And everyone knows in the upper echelons of the government that they won't be able to hide this information for long. So indeed a press conference is planned for you all. Were originally planned to be a part of Ezra and Shire's press conference that the episode started with. But indeed, as this was about to go down, preparations for war had to kick into overdrive as deep space imaging satellites that have come with the Pact world resources see what looks like a faint kind of purple star, which becomes very visible to the naked eye before too long, not too far from the system. The satellites, and including the Project Sharpwing that you send in that direction to take a look at that corner of space outside of the star system, aren't able to get anything back. You just see a very bright, glowing purple object in the system's kind of hinterlands. And then not long after that, a day after that, there is reports from your Vescarium friends that indeed system-wide scans show a very large fleet has entered the edges of your solar system. Dozens and dozens of very large ships, perhaps a vanguard of some sort. And as the Vescarium begins to send ships out, the press conference goes on. A war council is prepared, and you guys are swept away to start the planning for the coming weeks. It is a hodgepodge, and it's up to you. Do you want Viridian to host it? I know the last time you had dignitaries in your city that there was an assassination attempt. Do you want to pick another location? You can go to Absalom.
Well, if you want. Plostov, right?
Plostov probably doesn't have the infrastructure security.
Have we not been helping them out on the side? Oh, I feel bad.
I mean, yes, but it's still like, a desert town, desert colony. Yeah, it's up to you. I'd say there's a few places that are very possible to keep up a large kind of conference center or war room that can have dozens and dozens of staff. Besides your colony, Greymoor could probably handle it. Xenilia, with their very corporate offices, could handle it. I would not send this to Nightwood or Postov or perhaps even Celestine. Folks don't trust Celestine, but
folks, we can do Greymoor. Yeah, right? That's the Vex one, right?
No, that's Triumph.
Oh, that's Triumph.
Greymoor is supported by the Starfinders.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
They have the infrastructure to handle it, and you've already gotten their support by the rescue attempt that you made. Or not attempt,
yeah, that'd be fun.
The rescue of the Starfinders that were on the Waydana 6?
3, I don't know. 5.
Right. So I think as you get there, because you might be some of the furthest away from Greymoor, just about everyone has already showed up from some of these other councils, other colonies, representatives from across New Galarion and beyond. There's Pact and Viscarium representatives as well, are in a very large conference room with a, you know, I think if you're going to have a good war room, you have to have a circular table with all the chairs, and there's a very large holographic display kind of like updating in real time Viscarium ship movements and unknown enemy movements and things like that. But yeah, you see all these dignitaries and the leaders of other colonies talking with one another, over one another. It's a very large room, but it is filled with voices as you come in. There are some very familiar faces.
Hedrick, can I ask for some clarification? Is there fighting allowed in this war room?
please, sir. I mean, you know, it is Starfinder, so I can't stop you from just blasting a laser pistol out. I imagine if I brought Xanto's Loachwort here, there'd be like a fight within like 10 minutes.
Boss fight, go!
He is not there. He does not care about the kind of politics there, but you guys did not choose his project, so maybe Nikithi is there. But yeah, so all the discussion does seem to be about this, you know, focused on the size of this approaching armada and all the projects that they want to get done. And I'll introduce you to some more of the folks from other colonies, some of which you've met, some not. Kind of perhaps the most busy right now is the Sheeran leader of Greymoor, Haz Kavesh, who you've met once before. He's a high-ranking Starfinder official, and he's got like a group of Starfinders around him, some Vesk military folks, and they seem to be definitely looking at this display in the middle here. There is a representative from Nightwood who looks like a big old plant man. I can't not look at him and not see an ear of corn, but he is like more sunflower based with long petal lapels. And
yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't think you've gone down there to meet him, but he will be introduced to you as Galanwi.
They really did put a G, a W, and a Y, and an L all right in a row.
Gwilanwi.
That's a Welsh town name that has 45 letters in it.
Yeah.
Gwilanwi. Yes. So, yes, he is a Xeno warden, and he seems to be talking a great deal about like resources and supplies and things like that. Who else do we have here? You recognize a few familiar faces in the form of Radevi Bonre here, of course, from Celestine, talking about folks with the necropository and readings from around the planet. And from Xenilia, of course, there is Gilcrew, who I don't think I've had the art for him as well either. But look, here's Gilcrew. You've met him so many times in this campaign. So many, like twice.
We go way back.
Yeah, you've known him for a while. And you've been in league with his colony for some time. So yeah, you have a whole host of folks here, including some I don't have art for, but just about every colony is represented here. Oh gosh, except Plostov. Oh, poor Plostov. They got absorbed now. You guys are speaking for him. So yeah, who would you like to chat with first? Who do you want to, you know, everyone does seem to take notice when you guys come into the war room. a lot of folks seem interested. Oh, and Brigadier Chargros Assad is there, of course.
Yeah. Am I still shapeshifted as them?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it's up to you. It'd be real confusing.
I probably shouldn't start off on that foot. We'll work our way up to that.
So yeah, who do you want to chat up first?
Well, we already have relationships or a relationship with Gil Crew, so probably them.
Yeah. Do you guys want to divide and conquer? Some of you chat up new people, some old. Who wants to talk to Gil Crew?
What are we supposed to talk about?
Oh, the war. You know, you guys are about to be attacked and stuff.
I mean, just like small talk?
No, make plans for the war room. Make war room plans.
Do that as a group, like as a whole council?
Yeah. Why is everyone separate?
I don't know. Everyone's just having separate conversations right now. I don't. There's a lot of stuff.
It's going to be very productive if we all have different ideas and don't talk about them.
You're in small groups right now, and you're going to talk about small group stuff, and then you're going to come together in a larger meeting. You've been to corporate retreats where this has happened.
The group Redacted is in is talking about making a larger group.
Zilix is going to use his intelligent nanites ability to gain my ranks in diplomacy. So we're
ready. Okay. All right. Praetor is going to Gil Crew. I will call each of you out. I will make you pick somebody. Drew, is there someone that interests you to chat to?
Well, Haskevesh looks delicious, so I don't think he would be where Zilix would want to go for, you know, reasons.
I said he does kind of look like corn. If you just look at him real quick, it's like, oh, yum.
If somebody leaves a pad of butter next to him, that's Squilani. I'm speaking from the lizard man perspective of maybe what looks delicious. So
you could not bring, you could not take him down in one bite. He's too big. Sorry, Drew. are you not interested in the plant man then? Is that who you want to chat to?
We'll go to the plant man. We'll go to Gwilani.
Plant man. What about you, Miles? Who's your pick your poison?
I think that Redacted will talk to Melodia Crinth.
What?
The names I see.
Oh my gosh. Look at the big ones, Miles. Just the big ones.
They're just the big ones.
The five big ones.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to them.
They don't seem nice or interesting.
No.
What are you talking about? Redavid Bonray looks like the world's meanest librarian. You don't want to talk to her?
You know, I'll tell you exactly how that conversation will go. They're both going to stare in silence at each other.
Okay.
Look at that photo and know how Redacted is and say that's not what's going to happen. Those two are just going to stare at each other. Morbius.
Morbius. I swear to goodness, if you say Gil Crew, he's already been taken. It sounds like you signed up for Redivi Bonray. So that means, Rebecca, do you want to talk to Assad or Haskevesh? Wait, no. Yeah, Haskevesh.
I want to talk to Assad.
Then way to go, Jabert.
I've been demoted to Haskevesh.
No, you've been promoted to a Starfinder conversation.
We were both just over by the crudités, just when everyone else was pairing up, and we're like, oh.
Yes, you guys have to do the three-legged race together, and it's going to be real awkward. Yeah, no, in chatting, Drew, as you get to know of Nightwood, they are providing a great deal of food, medicine, and even some living weapons for distribution amongst the fleet, amongst the world. And Gwilanwi asks how their charter can best get these materials where they need to be. They're asking for help with logistics. They're asking for help with maybe some life science kind of work in working with their farmers and botanists. Is that something that you feel confident in helping them with?
Oh, 100%. So life science, easy. As far as ships and things like that, is that a survival check?
Piloting or computers, probably something along those lines.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to do it right now. This is just like what they're they're looking to contribute and talk about in like the larger meetings. Rebecca, as Asher and Sky goes to meet, you're meeting General Assad, correct?
Yes.
He hasn't seen you in a few weeks, so he's like, "Ah, hello, Asher and Sky. I am sorry that I was about to get murdered when we last saw one another. But, you know, Vesk on a Vesk. I don't know what to say."
We it's both good made to see it out you, of there alive. Healthy and well again.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. But I wish I could say the same for our fleet. I'm getting very scarce reports that our engagement force has already exchanged some fire with the Culling Shadow on the outskirts of the system. And our main dreadnought that was sent out there has some communications damage. Perhaps their array was knocked out, but we believe the ship is still in working order, but we will need some assistance once it reaches New Galarian once more. Maybe do some last minute repairs. Is that something that Viridian would be able to help with?
Yes, I think that we have the resources and expertise to do so.
What about you? Do you think you'd be able to do it? Are you technically savvy?
I am, in fact. Depending on the nature of the repairs to be done, I would be happy to help out.
Dreadnought Starship Communications. Did you ever take like a correspondence course? Get your undergraduate in that field?
No, I have a BFA in dancing, but I kind
okay,
of
basically the
I
same
went.
Thing, right? Dancing, Starship, Dreadnought Starship Communications. I mean, basically, what you can minor in one and major in the other, and it's like a double. All right, well, we'll figure that out.
Well, yeah, let's. Ooh.
Tyler, let's talk about Gilcrew. He's very happy to see you. He says, "Oh, hello. How are you? Pray, dear. We have not chatted in some time since you came in and visited the colony. And I wish it was under better circumstances."
"Yes, it is unfortunate that the largest gathering of the colonies is under the threat of extermination, but still, it is nice to see people working together in such numbers."
"Isn't that always the way? There's a great deal that Xenilia would be able to contribute to this coalition, but we have some unfinished business. While Xenilia Colony, I hope, has repaid Viridian Colony for its partnership over the Golden Blooms throughout the years, I have Xenilla D and our CEO, our Dragonkin CEO, would like to thank you all in person, but because of the circumstances of the impending attack, they have not been cleared to make the drift travel out to the planet. They have sent a emissary to the starport with a holographic message of support, and they would be honored if you, once we are concluded here, would go and meet them upon their personal vessel."
Of course. No, the relationship between Viridian and Xenia has been very fruitful and successful. Anything that can contribute to that continued relationship, I will happily take part in.
Are you a hugger? Would you like a hug? It's okay to say no.
I am a hugger.
All right, well, bring it in.
It's been brought in. Many, many, many tendrils.
Are you tucked
around Gilcrew?
Are you tucking in?
Tucking.
Are you fully tucked?
I'm fully tucked.
Good.
I'm belly button to belly button here. No A-frame hugs from here.
Yeah. So redacted as you go and chat with Radivi Bonray. While not all of the she's mostly talking shop to you and about the specifics of the Necropositrine shield arrays that have started to get installed, she recommends, you know, both weapons drills for the fleets, but also kind of safety drills in getting the shields up and running, and perhaps, you know, colony-wide evacuations to the shields, or if they're not able to, maybe even doing something like building bunkers if there's fighting outside of necro radiation. And she's wondering if you'd be willing, along with some other starship captains, to run drills for the fleet and for the colonies.
Yeah, Redacted would nod.
Yes, thank you very much. It is very nice to not have a long verbose conversation in these small scrums that we're having. Thank you for agreeing.
Redacted just nods.
please keep it to yourself. I got that from the first nod.
Whoa now.
Yeah, and maybe we see good old Jamfram kind of poking his ear on a group of like eight different Starfinder Society members, including, of course, Havkavesh, not only pouring over the satellite data that you guys have shared with Project Sharpwing, but the pooled data of radiation spikes across the planet. Things like the necro-saturated bears, events like that have happened over the years in a few different places, and basically they're working on like mapping out what looks like something kind of like ley lines of radiation. It seems to be happening on like certain meridians, certain longitude and latitude and things like that. And they're trying to
It's not as random as it seems.
Hmm. Yeah, and they're wondering if there's some reason to that, and they're taking a look, and indeed it seems like there are multiple spikes that seem to be pointing towards the frozen north of New Galarian.
Oh my goodness. Now the guy that we met that was on the polar sort of like base, that
Claimer.
Was Claimer. That was he in the north or was he in the south? I forget which pole he was at.
He was in the good old north, and you guys have not put together yet that he is Santa Claus.
Oh, he's the Santa Claus is who he is. Oh, that's the one. Yeah, well, that makes sense. Santa Claus. Yes, I will. Well, see, I have some knowledge of the area, and my survival skills have served me well. I can tell them what I know about the terrain and the geography. I make sure to, like, you know, sort of preen my armor and make a couple of comments about how historically accurate it is. Probably, maybe that. I mean, nobody knows, but like it could be. It might be historically accurate. Maybe a Starfinder would be. I don't know. Maybe a little impressed. Here we are on Galarian, and what do you know? Here's an old timey knight. What do you think? What do you think about that? Does that interest you? Does that sound like fun?
Very interesting, but extremely concerning. We will have to look into this a great deal. Perhaps we can get some satellite coverage from your spy satellites.
Oh yeah, the satellite. Yeah, that's yeah. We could do that. Yeah, that shouldn't take more than hours, I suppose. Minutes. I'll check with the experts.
You're not sure.
I don't know about that kind of thing, but I know who does.
Who?
Ezrin, get over here. You're the person that knows everything, right? You're basically a wizard.
Ezrin, TLDR these people.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, well, yeah, I assure them that our system is top notch, and we can indeed position some satellites over there. Might I ask what is it? What kind of signals are we looking for here? Or should that be obvious from the conversation that we've just had?
Probably other radiation spikes, perhaps. Yeah. Other things out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
So as you're walking away from that group, a specter, a ghost from your past appears before you.
A ghost, and I jump into his name, his Havkavesh, the arms.
What?
And I point, going on and my, here? This and is my teeth are this my teeth very, are chattering.
Very improper.
You see the undead Riggs R. Mortis here. And in front of him, the Ripper Doc, who you owed money for the longest time, the small Blackford Skittermander with the white mohawk.
He's very, very helpful in the evilest way.
They come up to you in this wide war chamber. How they got in here, you're not sure. But he's like,
Champ from, how's it going? Long time no CC.
Greetings, Riggs. How and, sorry, what was this guy's name?
Dr. Feely Goodgood.
Dr. Feely Goodgood, right.
Hello.
And Dr. Feely Goodgood.
I'm Dr. Feely Goodgood.
Dr. Feely Goodgood. So pleased that you could join us here. I apologize that it is not on a more auspicious occasion. How did you find your trip through the vast?
I've been here for some time, of course.
Oh, yes, we of course.
Provided you with all the medical needs that Viridian needs. We've been working with Ezra and Shire for some time. He's a cool cat.
Yes, he's very nice, but we've been in awe of your work as administrators, and now you've turned into, what, generals? Admirals? What are you guys?
I think it's a captain.
Grand Poobles.
You're all captains? Well, congratulations on the upgrade, and, well, I've come not asking for something from you, but offering something once more. Ships, a small fleet, actually. I've banded together some fellow merchants, mercenaries by trade, traveling starships who have a vested interest in seeing New Galarian prosper and not perish in the coming months. And we would like to offer these ships to you, to your colonies, perhaps to help with an evacuation if need be, get citizens into the drift, get them out of danger if this fleet does materialize and we have to beat feet very, very quickly.
That is an exceedingly generous offer, and we would be glad to take you up on it. The people here are mostly simple folk just trying to find a good place to live, and we had hoped to give it to them. We had hoped that it wouldn't be like this, but the life of on a new planet is never without its challenges, and we rely on the support of one another, and I thank you for your offer. And I offer him a hand for a big old handshake between two little guys.
And at no charge, of course. This is just an investment in perhaps future trading opportunities.
No, well, now you make it sound like it is something.
I'm sorry, that's just my laugh. Oh, okay, I can't really help that.
All right, okay. Well, that's fair. Okay. Right, very good. Well, I'm sure that we would be most grateful to you and to your flotilla for any assistance that you can provide. And rest assured, you will be
merchant marines.
You merchant marines, you will be well compensated. I assure you of that. My days of shirking my debts are over. I guarantee you that. And I paid you back, right? You got the money. The check was in the mail. You got it. Came through. Went through.
Not at all. But we've extracted from Viridian a good deal of, let's just say, profits.
Value. Yeah.
All I want to know is that you, one of our best investments, is still going strong. How's that ticker are we in installed in you? And goes in and like kind of knocks on your chest armor. It's like you're still healthy, still not dead.
Not dead yet. Although I haven't spent much time in space, so, you know, I kind of haven't had to test it too much, but...
Looks absolutely flabbergasted. It's like, well, that's good. Very good. Yeah. All right.
Wait a minute. It almost sounds like you didn't think this was going to work.
That wasn't a rush job at all.
I'm not going to lie.
You've never done that procedure before in your life.
No, I was... They call me Dr. Feely Goodgood for a reason. I don't operate sober, so...
They used to call me Dr. Winging It.
Yeah. We didn't even sterilize the equipment when we did that.
Anyway...
That's for squares.
Touch.
All right. All right. This guy. What a joker.
Yeah, as the communications continue, Gilk Crew does ask... As you're taking a break, if you want to come out to the ship, to the starship, and get the message now, are you guys all willing to go with him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this seems normal.
I like messages. Yeah.
They're gonna
as long as you're
to betray one of the other.
He's just asking you to take a quick ride to the starport where the starship, like a personal starship of the company's CEO, is there. And when you guys get there, there is a Dragonkin representative in a very sharply tailored spacesuit that comes out and kind of waves you over. And it plays a very short message from the Dragonkin back in the Pact, the CEO of Zenility Labs, thanking you all for the Golden Bloom investment that you made with the company over the very duty Nightwood colony, who probably would just give you prestige and not
money.
Monetary rewards. Yeah, and they're with it. A few deckhands on the ship bring out some boxes, some gear, and it is in Viridian colors. There's a few sets of armor. There is a, what looks like a magical amulet amongst the items here.
Goodies.
And a couple of two pieces of armor. Yes. Oh, and a mantle of power.
Oh my.
Put this in the chat here. Mm-hmm. Oops. This real quick. And because there are five of you and only four prizes in the box, if you want to double up any one of these, you can. I think one is okay. Heavy armor and one is light armor. One is a D-suit Mark IV, and the other is a Squad Aegis series suit of armor. Each of the suits of armor is in kind of Zenility markings, like the company's markings, but with Viridian colors on it, and comes with installed an Aethelion shoulder laser and a Mark I medical interface. So there you go. That's in the loot pile.
Say, let's double up that armor.
I would like to call one.
Yeah, I would also like one of the light armors as well.
So the Squad Aegis series is the heavy armor, and the D-suit Mark IV is the light, I believe.
So did you not say we could double up one of them?
Yeah, just one of them, yes. So if you want two D-suits Mark IV, that's fine.
I mean, I would...
I think, mind?
Yeah, because I know Drew and I both need armor.
Go for it.
I guess as the only person who wears heavy, that I'll take that if that's okay.
And another wise investment for the soldier in the party.
Cool. I'm into that. Can we go ahead and suit these bad boys up?
Sorry, it is a mantle of willpower. I think I said mantle of power. I was like, why can't Rebecca, I find this?
Would you like the mantle or would you like the amulet?
What did they do?
The amulet allows you to dispel a spell that has been cast at you. And the mantle allows you to, I think it gives a bonus to will saves, and it allows you to negate a mind affecting effect that has been used against you.
Either way.
But then you are stunned until you are your next turn.
Oh.
It's a bit of a downside. Depending on the mind affecting effect, I guess it really, really depends.
I mean, yeah, there's some out there that are pretty gnarly, but
yeah. I don't really need the mantle of willpower because I have the spell Mind of Three, which allows me to essentially do the same thing. Okay. So I would love it if you had it, because if Patrick was like, oh, look, charm person. Oh, Rebecca's on team Patrick now. You know, you could be
that
like,
that could get real bad for us.
Not today. Yeah, because if you
Does
trick attack.
Does that count as a magic item?
Yes.
So I would have to get rid of one of my magic items.
Oh, you already have?
Yeah, two.
They would either one will count as a magic item.
Yeah. Okay.
You're already wearing.
D-suit 4, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go ahead and equip them?
Yeah, I mean, they'll have to be resized for you, but it won't take too long.
And just to clarify, the D-suits also have the shoulder cannons?
I believe so. Is that what it says in the text here? Yeah, each is installed with an Aethelion laser rifle and a Mark I medical interface. So I'm guessing both of them have at least that many slots.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, the
the squad's got like 5 slots. That's a lot.
I mean, I didn't worry about the. Wasn't worried. There are 4 for the D suit Mark IV, so I'm guessing the laser probably takes up at least 2. But shoulder mounted Athelion laser.
That's not bad, I guess. I'm trying to find the actual laser stats.
It is a 2d8 for the Athelion, and takes. It looks like it's integrated.
Oh,
slot.
Oh yeah. So it's, well, let's see. It might have the heavy weapon mount or the light weapon mount upgrade plus a laser, or is there a specific item that is a?
I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll figure that out. But
okay.
Goku finishes off the video, which is very short but heartfelt message from the Dragonkin, who's like, "We wanted to thank you so much for teaming up with Team Senility over the years, and outside of paying you and your colony back, we wanted to make a special show of this and get you some equipment that you might need in this trying time as you face the Culling Shadow. Thank you so much, Viridian administrators. And as a final parting gift, I would just like to say, to be continued."
Ooh.
To be continued.
Can I roll sense motive on the gifts?
No.
They're all bombs.
I just want to make sure. Well, they could be bugged. That'll be like, oh, this is how we listen in on their conversation.
You've been bugged for years. You're fine.
That's why I'm traumatized, Patrick. You can understand where this is coming from.
We'll figure out what else we got to do next week. As you guys have, you've got some missions from the War Council, some things to check in on. And it sounds like we're in for some Star Fleet combat, perhaps.
No!
That is going to do it. Guys, thank you for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Listeners, thank you for listening. And we will catch you on the next week's episode of Cosmic Crit.
Good night.
Pizza, pizza.
Bye, Thistle.
Farewell. Our feet are saying goodbye.
'Listening to Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.